United States of America. Known as Land of the Free, Home of the Brave, America has come to symbolize freedom throughout the world. People from all nations and from all walks of life have called America their home. America has welcomed them with open arms. Indeed, the famed Statue of Liberty is the embodiment of the fulfillment of this dream. In New York's public education system alone, its student body represents 145 countries of the world. By welcoming all of the world's people and affording them unprecedented opportunities, America has embraced the most talented minds in all fields and from all countries, in becoming a true melting pot with few barriers to success. This young nation has become a model for others to follow. The United States has dozens of major cities, playing an important role in U.S. culture, heritage, and economy. In 2004, 251 incorporated places had populations of at least 100,000, and 9 had populations greater than a million, including 5 important global cities: New York City, Los Angeles, Chicago, Houston, and Philadelphia. In addition, there are 50 metropolitan areas with populations over a million, including Long Beach, Dallas, Boston, Phoenix, Seattle, and San Diego. With no official language, English is the de facto language of the U.S. About 82% of the population speaks only English at home. Although not all Americans speak English, it is the most common language for daily interaction among both native and non-native speakers. Opportunities in this country are only limited by our imagination and our ability. Indeed, two of the richest men in the world, Bill Gates and Warren Buffett, hail from America, and both started their companies from ground up. But despite its success as one of the world's superpowers, the United States is also a very spiritual country, allowing freedom of worship to its citizens. Indeed, religion has traditionally played a large role in American society. Many of the original European colonists came to America for religious reasons. Religion still has a major influence on American politics and culture. As a liberal country that respects its citizens' right to worship, America has a deep affinity with Supreme Master Ching Hai. She first visited America in the late 1980s in response to the earnest and sincere invitations of spiritual aspirants. Since then, Supreme Master Ching Hai has accepted many invitations from around the country to share her wisdom and knowledge on spirituality. Over the years, with her boundless love and compassion, Supreme Master Ching Hai has also provided humanitarian assistance to many parts of the country. For example, in 1993, many parts of the Midwest of the U.S. were flooded as a result of heavy rainfall. Supreme Master Ching Hai's heart went out to these victims, and thus she immediately sent relief teams to this region to provide financial and material assistance. In 1994, in recognition of her compassion and contributions to these states, the governors of 6 Midwestern states, Illinois, Minnesota, Missouri, Iowa, Wisconsin, and Kansas, presented Supreme Master Ching Hai with the World Spiritual Leadership Award, and also proclaimed February 22nd as Supreme Master Ching Hai Day. On December 27, 1997, at the benefit concert organized by the Supreme Master Ching Hai International Association, A Journey Through Aesthetic Realms, Supreme Master Ching Hai generously contributed $100,000 each to the Vietnam Children's Fund and U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs. The following year, on December 18, 1998, the Supreme Master Ching Hai International Association organized another benefit concert, One World of Peace, through music, at the prestigious Shrine Auditorium in Los Angeles, California, where the Oscars were once hosted for many years. At this grand occasion, Supreme Master Ching Hai once more contributed generously to two charity organizations, St. Jude Children's Research Hospital and the Starlight Children's Foundation, with a check of $150,000 and $100,000 respectively. And in the face of the worst human tragedy to ever occur on U.S. soil, on September 11, 2001, Supreme Master Ching Hai had also responded by immediately sending relief teams from around the country and all over the world to Ground Zero in New York City. Supreme Master Ching Hai's financial contributions amounted to over $300,000 to organizations aiding the victims. Contributions were given to the Virginia chapter of the American Red Cross, National Red Cross in Washington, D.C., National Salvation Army, Crisis Link, an organization to help the families of the Pentagon victims, and the Virginia Hospital Center, where many of the injured victims from the Pentagon were treated. In New York, Supreme Master Ching Hai's contributions were directed to the Salvation Army, the American Red Cross, and the Firefighters Memorial Fund. Additional contributions from Supreme Master Ching Hai were allocated for relief supplies. Our association members on site at Ground Zero provided supplies, medicine, and daily nourishment of delicious vegetarian food and hot coffee to relief workers. For rescuers who were in areas too dangerous to leave, the Ching Hai Mobile Meal Truck, the only mobile food unit at the time, delivered food directly to those workers. In addition, Supreme Master Ching Hai was awarded the Los Angeles Music Week Certificate of Commendation, the commendation of dedication and outstanding service from the Mayor of Los Angeles, and the highest honor at the 2006 annual Telly Awards. As an embodiment of true love, Supreme Master Ching Hai continues to this day to extend her loving compassion to all parts of the U.S., from Virginia, Ohio, Kentucky, Alabama, to California, Florida, Texas, Hawaii, and other states. From the elderly to the homeless, the orphaned and the impoverished, and victims of natural disasters, all are recipients of Supreme Master Ching Hai's love. Everywhere she goes, Supreme Master Ching Hai leaves an indelible impression on the hearts of all those who met her or received her unconditional assistance. For many, Supreme Master Ching Hai's words of wisdom act like a loving balm that soothes their aching soul as they yearn to return to God's embrace. We now invite you to listen to the following lecture given by Supreme Master Ching Hai in Boulder, Colorado, USA, on March 9, 1991, entitled, Find Your Inner Master.
That's what it is, the importance of meeting the true master in order to awaken the true self within us. The king, we only talk to the king. Therefore, we could follow many paths. We could do everything we want, stick in the caves for 100 years. We still not find the master. It's not the master's affair, so he will not come out. He only wait until the proper moment to see the king, because he is the king. Therefore, we meditate, we follow many different so-called masters, we do every kind of austerities, even vegetarianism. That doesn't bring us to Buddhahood, or to God throne, except when we awaken the Buddha within us through seeing another Buddha, or through the help of another Buddha, then we know ourselves. You understand the difference or not? Yes? We follow many paths, we have different benefits. There is no path that offers no benefit. There must be benefits of some kind. Otherwise, how would people follow it? Even prayers without any guidance have benefit. Even going to church or going to the temples, doing worship, going on pilgrimages have their emotional upliftment. And we feel some kind of happiness through it. Sometimes, most often, sense of pride that we have done pious things and that we are vegetarian, that we go to the church every day, that we go to Mecca, etc. And that strengthens our ego only, our pride only. That's a sad thing. But the soul is always there, luckily. And the soul knows that it's okay. Only let the children play until they're tired. And then they would go to the mother. Understand? That's why the true masters never in a hurry or never try to hurt disciples. They're just very natural, very spontaneous in their way. And whoever is ready will come. They have no anxieties that the whole world does not follow their message, that many people attack them, that people would not live the way they should do. Because children live the way children do, but it's okay. Just that they have to grow up one day. And once they grow up, they have to behave the way adult people should behave. So the so-called masters of Buddha, since ancient time, they would come and present to the people many different levels of life or the enlightened ideas. And then people would choose. Those who are ready for it would choose. But not that the master is very hurried and very anxious and worried about the world. But not that he doesn't do anything. He does, but without doing. Like Lao Tzu say, do without doing. And that's a different level from the intellectual level who stick themselves in the jungle and mind no one's business. The master is in the world to help those who need help. But he is not in the world. He's not attracted to the world, not attached to the world. Nor is he attached to his failure or success in this world. You see how Jesus did. At the peak of his glory, he was ready to die. If it should be so. You understand? And by dying, he teaches many people the way of surrendering. By not clinging to glory and life, he teaches God's will. That we should always follow God's will. But in order to follow God's will, we must know where God is and what God's want. And in order to know that, we must reach God realization, like Jesus did or Buddha did. Then we can surrender. But not otherwise. Before that, we will always struggle with our own will, with our own so-called intelligence in order to change the world or to make the world a better place, etc. We do that with a sense of ego. After great enlightenment, we do but not doing. And we do thousands and one billion trillions of things without lifting one finger. Can you imagine that kind of business? Huh? Doing a trillion things without lifting one finger? It happens. It's not a joke. Even though I made it like a joke, but it isn't. It is a true state of real being. And every one of us has this capacity, has this right to exercise this power. But we don't know it, that's all. We're too busy developing ourselves in scientific aspect, in literature field, in mechanical, success. And we do not try to develop the all complete power. That's why we don't know how to exercise this. And that is the only reason. And now, many people would tell me, but we do. We try hard to develop this all-encompassing power. Yes, people would tell me, yes, we do that. Yeah, we go to the church, we go to the temple, we repeat 101 beats every day. Yeah, we are vegetarian. We do this mantra 1,001 times. We repeat hundreds of mantras many years now. And we count it. We even count it. We have a book for it. Yes. And we worship such deities how many times a day, how many hundred prostrations a day. And we go to such and such pilgrimage centers. We do such and such worship acts and rituals and rites. And we meditate even. Yes. Or I feel I'm very virtuous. Yes. I did feel that way. But after a while, I'm tired. I thought, it's not deep enough to satisfy my inner longing. And so only after I practice this so-called Guanyin method, which is the method without method, which is directly pointing into your own nature, then everything ceases to bother me. Everything else fall apart. Yes. And the self stands revealed. And everyone knows that too. Some of the people who follow other paths will tell me, yes, we know that. Directly point to the mind, knowing you are the Buddha, that's it, and you are enlightened. But that's only talking. Repeating what the patriarchs said in many hundreds or thousands of years ago. We don't know what is directly pointing to the Buddha nature means. We don't even know what it is. We thought the Buddha nature is what we can understand with the intellect, or touch with the hands, or reasoning it out, what we can imagine it. It's not so. It's not anything that we can imagine, or touch, or feel, or reason. We just have to know it by the experience. The Buddha nature is something effulgent with light. And within this light, we know everything. Just like we use language to teach human, and the animals, they use the animal language to communicate to each other. Buddha use light and different vibrating frequencies to teach the Buddha in us. Do you understand? The Buddha in us cannot understand, don't want to understand, and don't need this physical language of ours. It's not for him. Just like the animals must not teach human being what to do by his own bubbling, or however beautiful, singing. You understand? We don't need it. We have different language of our own. We do our things. Even though we might love the animals, we might like their singing songs or their sounding, welcoming sound to us, but they don't need to teach us through that. We don't need to learn animal understanding anymore. Okay? So the same. The Buddha inside needs Buddha's direct teaching, which manifested through light and vibration. That's why the method, the non-method method, is a Guanyin. Guanyin means observation of the vibration. You understand? The inner vibration is not the outer. It's not that we can hear with the ears or we can see with the eyes. No, no, no. We can perceive it only. And once we perceive this, we know that is our real nature. And everything else comes automatically. That's why in the Bible it is say, seek you first the kingdom of God, and all the things shall be added unto you. The kingdom of God manifested in all light, all musical, all beautiful melodies. That is as far as we can reach inside in order to understand something and slowly to reach the absolute. The light which manifested from the Most High in order to communicate with the lost souls in this world or different worlds has different levels. Not that the light alters, it's just the cloud of different levels made it different, become into different kind of quality. You understand? Just like the sunlight, when filtered through different eyes glasses, looks different, or descended into different places. We have to listen to the melodious teaching of God, and then slowly we follow it and reach the top. And that is when we know the Buddha nature, when we know what the kingdom of God is. Otherwise, we just speculate and think we know. We must know it. We must eat the cake before we say it is sweet or sour. And this kind of experience we can have immediately because the kingdom of God is within. Even then, it is within, but we do not know. Because the king will not come out if there is no other king to greet him or to talk to him. Understand? So the so-called master is that the one who has reached that level and then can communicate with our highest level. Our highest self would not come out otherwise. He knows, he wastes his time. Therefore, we follow many paths and we do not feel satisfied. We know there's something missing. We know that the real self has not revealed itself to us because of that, because of the lack of the equal partner. Yeah? So whenever we see that our self revealed, and we know that we have met another self, and that is the way to recognize a true master or not. Otherwise, we cannot know. Everyone can teach us so many 101 things and busy ourselves all the time. But this is only to pass times. It's not to reach self-enlightenment, not to know the highest way of our life. So, in case that you believe what I say, you may try, yes. And in case you do not, you may follow your path and be friends with me. Until next time, maybe 100 years to come, 1,000 years to come, because you still like to sleep. There are two ways to realize ourselves. First is immediate, right now, and finish with all learning, and finish with all the suffering, if we think the world is suffering and too ignorant for us. If we think the way we lead our life is not satisfactory enough for our ideal, then we have to do it now, in this life. A second way is that just to go on with the way we are now, and sleep. In sleep inside, the soul sleep. And maybe we wake up another time. There could be many hundreds of years, many thousands of years. Depends on how long we like to sleep. Okay, I think I leave time for you to have questions. And then I will know what you want to ask. I know how you understand. Thank you very much for your loving attention. I do feel your supporting energies. Thank you very much.
My name is Jesse Arnold, and I have a question for you. I've been thinking about it for 2 days because on my altar I put the poster that I picked up in the store.
Yes.
Announcing your visit.
Thank you.
So while I was doing different practices over the last 2 days, I started noticing that there was more of a smile. You have a big smile on your face in the poster.
Yeah.
And then I felt the energy radiating from the poster, and I told my friend Bill, I said, I know that the Master knows that that we're here, and that she's sending out her feelers and making contact with all the different energy that's going on here. And I immediately said, what am I going to say to the Master? So as soon as I asked that question, the thought came into my mind that I would like to know what you understand of the Bodhisattva, and how did the Bodhisattva can manifest, because I felt your presence without even you being in the room.
You answer yourself already, no?
But hearing it from you would be a blessing.
You want self-glorification or what?
I'm actually looking for glorification of the Buddha.
Yeah, you want me to self-glorify, and it's difficult. Well, if you have felt the energy, then all right, I try to explain, but please don't think it is a self-praise. Someone who reached a level of Bodhisattva. Bodhisattva is Sanskrit, means an enlightened being, a very enlightened being. Bodhi means enlightened, sattva means being, that's all, yeah. When somebody reaches a level of enlightened being, then that person can be anywhere at the same time. We call omnipresent. But the Bodhisattva, according to Buddhist terminology, is not a Buddha, yeah? But actually, the omnipresent person in the highest level is a Buddha, or is a Christ. So a Bodhisattva is someone who not only is enlightened, him or herself, but can enlighten others by different ways, visibly and invisibly. Yes. All right? But you must be in a high level in order to feel that. Not everyone can feel that, even through just a picture.
Yes, please. Who or what is Kuan Yin?
Kuan Yin is the name in Chinese for Avalokiteshvara of Sanskrit. It indicates an enlightened being called Kuan Yin or Avalokiteshvara. It means the one who observes the sound. Kuan means observing, contemplating. Yeah? Yin means sound, the vibration that I had just mentioned. And she or he had reached Buddhahood, sainthood, yes, or enlightenment through the Kuan Yin method. Therefore, we call her Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. When she was alive, she helped many people in her enlightened way. So, and people do not really know her name, so they call her Kuan Yin. But everyone who practiced Kuan Yin method and reached that level are also entitled to call Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. Yes? Mm. Therefore, I offer this method to make you become a Kuan Yin. Not to pray to Kuan Yin, but be one. Yes. There are two ways to live in this world. One is to pray to God or Buddha. The other is to be Buddha and help others who pray. Okay? If you want, please raise your hand. Yeah? And be fast so we have not lost time. Well, There are too many. How can I share with you all at once? Everyone is the main one. Because the whole stream make up the river, you see? The whole current, yeah? The whole body of water make up the ocean. I cannot say which drop is the main drop. Difficult. Why don't you just get initiation and enjoy it yourself? Well, I offer it in person, yes, but we must enjoy it, not to hear from it. If I ate a cake and say that it's so sweet and nice and beautiful, what benefit would you gain from it? Yes, so the best is to eat the cake. Yes, at the time of initiation, you experience what I experience in some degree. And slowly you experience everything that I experience with time. And you know what it is. To eat a cake is different from to hear what other people taste about the cake, right?
Hello.
Yes. Hi.
What about the fear and emotional blocks that always get in my way? I can only taste. I can't get there because I have these things that keep coming up for me. Can you speak to that?
Also Tibetan meditation? No?
No. A blend, actually. I do meditate quite a bit.
And yourself? You have
Om Namah Shivaya. I bow to my inner self.
Well, I can only tell you that whatever obstacles, you just try to meditate. Just continue.
Thank you.
Yes. If the obstacles is the one you can avoid, then try to avoid it. If you cannot, then pray to your inner master or God, whomever you believe most, to help you to overcome this uneven road. Okay?
My biggest obstacle right now is loving myself fully and completely. And I just... like a lot of us when we're growing up just are not taught to love ourselves and give ourselves full respect. And I find that I often create blocks for myself and beat myself up, as so many of us do. And I was just wondering if you could comment on that, about something to maybe motivate us to go further.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I have one solution. This is a Guanyin method. Once you know how great you are, first then you can love yourself. Once you know everything you do is God's will, then you will not blame yourself for things that you think you do it. Because we will not be the doer. You understand? We will understand more what makes us do this and that and why. And we just do things without really having to control it. You understand? But doesn't mean we do bad things, please. It just automatically be in the right way. To love ourselves is difficult because we don't know. We don't know ourselves. We think we are the one who does this bad thing and that bad things according to social convention and customs. And then therefore we blame ourselves. Also we get blamed since childhood. Whatever we do, the parents say, "Ah, that's naughty, that's lousy, that's bad." And we get this guilty feeling since childhood, and it's difficult to get rid of. The only thing to free ourselves is that to know how great we are and to directly know our real greatness. That's why many people cannot love the neighbor, because they cannot love themselves. But how can we love ourselves if we don't know how great we are? It's difficult. That's why I offer this method to know your great self. Then you stop everything else. It's so pity that not everyone knows this. That's the only way, the best way, the fastest, the safest, without any side effect. So I tell you this, the only cure that I know for all ills, for all kind of self-hatred, or others' hatred, or all kind of ignorance, for all kind of frustration, for all kind of suffering, for all kind of misunderstanding. Everything get cured by self-knowledge, by directly knowing God.
Is initiation a type of Shaktipat, and how is it different from other types of Shaktipat?
I have been asked this question before. And do you ask the same? Like Shakti has to do with Kundalini rising? Yes? Yes. Then my answer is this. Shakti deals with the feminine aspect of the universe, the creative power, the mother of all beings. Yeah. But God doesn't even create. You understand? So now if we know only the creative power, we are in the creation and in the creating process. We will be one in it. But we are not the one who witnesses also. Our path, it offers also Shakti power, but offer you also to be the witness. We have to be feminine and masculine at once, at the same times, in order to be truly complete. If we just one power and do not know the tranquility of uncreative state, then it is too restless, too hectic. Understand?
Once the soul is awakened, does it stay actively awake?
Yes, always. Always. The body will sleep. The mind will get sometimes entangled in other pursuits, but the soul never does again. Once awakened, it's always awakened. But even then, we need a cooperative mind and body and emotion in order to work best, to benefit the world more with the soul's directing power. Therefore, after initiation, even when we have a taste of enlightenment and know ourselves, we still continue with the training in order to make the mind habit to the enlightened way of the soul and not to sink down again to the physical level and the worn-out conception and the habit-forming way of doing things.